Here of the Pasuk Yitzayin. Pasuk Yitzayin is really right in the middle, is a part of Pasuk Tezayin. So let's do Tezayin again, because the two go together. Eve here is complaining, he is responding to Eliphaz, he is making an observation that everything depends on Mazel, and he's taking note that the wicked commit the worst possible sins, and nothing happens to them. They die a pleasant, simple death. And this proves his point that there is no hashkacha pratis. So part of his description of the wicked is in Pasuk Tezayin. We did this last time, but we review Chosar b'choshech batim yomam chitmu lamo lo yodu or the night. Chosar means to tunnel in the darkness. Batim, homes. They when it's dark outside, they tunnel their way into people's private homes and they steal their property. That's understood. Yomam, then when the sun shines, when it's day, chitmu lamo, they seal themselves up in a private location in order not to be caught. Lo yodu or, and since this is the way that they live, they work at night under the cover of darkness, and by day they hide. They don't really know what or looks like. They have no appreciation, no idea of or. Let's review quickly Pasuk Tezayin in the Mitzudos, because it's going to lead into Pasuk Yitzayin. Tezayin Chos, v'chinu yitzape al haneshef. This wicked person yearns al haneshef for dawn. Ki v'cheshka salay l'choyter hu es abotim l'chnos bohem derech ha-chasira. Under the cover of darkness, he tunnels his way into private homes. To lignoif ma babayis, to steal what's in the home. Uviyomam, and by day, sogu es atzmam, they hide, they close themselves up, they lock themselves up. L'mal yu nirim livne adam, they should not be seen by people. L'mal lo yakirum, they should not be recognized. Me, anyone, no one should recognize them. V'lo yedu, and thus, because this is their way of life, by night they rob, and by day they hide. Therefore, v'lo yadu im kein ar hayom, they don't know what it looks like outside. They have never seen daylight. Ki lo yiru hachutza, they are never seen outside. Rashi pasuk.
So it's
going back to pasuk tezvav. Pasuk tezvav is where it says shamra ve'einoyev shamra neshef. Shamra means aviv shamar es hadavar. Shamra means to anticipate. So I think maybe because then they're able, they feel secure, they're able to hide. They look forward to security. Even the Ganav wants a sense of security. And daytime, they lock themselves up. It's their safety net. All right, let's take a look at Pasuk Tezvav in Rashi. Pasuk Tezayin. Tezayin in Rashi, Yomam by day chitmu lamo. Osam shayu chaloshim mehem measos listios bayom. Those from among the group here, according to Rashi, Lishtos Rashi, there are really two different types of groups. There's a group of wicked people that are powerful and they have no problem committing crimes by day. But this pasuk is addressing those ganavim who are weak and they do fear being caught by day, so they have no choice but to rob only at night. Osam shayu chaloshim mehem. Yeah.
So, is this taken literally and not also figuratively?
What do you mean?
Okay.
It is literal. It is taken literally, of course. This is what they do. This, the only difference between Rashi and the Mitzvah, this is Rashi. Mitzvah seems to be saying that we're only this derech of all ganavim. There's no exception. Rashi, and we learned it last week. Rashi seems to say there are different groups. There's a set of ganavim. Some of the ganavim they rob in public, and some of them rob secret. Here we're describing the category, the subset of those ganavim who rob only by night. Yeah.
No. It can be.
No, I guess I mean
it could also be
a figurative that this is their
people who are in the dark,
insider trading.
They don't know, or they never find they never become enlightened.
Okay, the lo yodu are they. They don't know the real. Okay. I guess if you can interpret this homiletically in some way or form. Okay. Let's just see how Rashi into this. Pasuk Tezayin. Yomam chasmu la'or osam shayu chalosh mehem. Those who are weak among them, among the group of ganavim, measos. Why? What do you mean they're weak? Measos listios bayom. They're too weak to rob by day, to commit acts of theft by day, because they're afraid they'll get caught or they're not swift enough. So what does this group do? They would tunnel their way into private homes at night, and by day they would hide themselves up in their homes. Lo yadu ar, lo hayu makirin esar, they did not recognize that was not the time when they would walk on the streets, because if they would walk on the streets, they are afraid that maybe someone would recognize that this is the person who stole from them at night, so they keep themselves in hiding. The pasuk Yizan continues, ki yachdav, together. Now, what does yachdav refer to? The mitzvah is going to say that this refers to the two different types of sinners. We're going to try to really combine a little bit the mitzvah with Rashi. Rashi, let's take back, step back. Rashi lashes this intensely, as we're going to see very, very soon, in reference to the Dor HaMabul. In the Dor HaMabul, there were two categories of sinners. There were ganovim and people that commit adultery, people that had relations with women that they were not supposed to. Two different groups of people. So according to the Mesudas, mentioned that here as well, Yachta means together. The Ganovim and the people that were Mezane, that did Averos with Noshim, Ki Yachtov, Boker Lomot Salmoves. Mourning for them was death, because the crimes that they commit were done under the cover of darkness. So by daytime, they couldn't do it. They were bottled. They had nothing to do. It was boring for them. Or by day was a time when they were afraid they would get caught. So Boker, when morning arrived, Lomo, it was for them, it's Salmavis, it was as if it was the shadow of death. Kiyakir, because then at that time when it became morning, they would recognize Balhos Tzalmavis. Now, Balhos is not a usual word, it's Beholos. And so that's what the Mitzudos and Rashi says, we have to change the Hey and the Lamed. If you had the Hey and Lamed exchange, a Bahola means terror. And sometimes you have words where the Lamed and the Hey are interchanged. The classic example is Keves and Kesev. Same exact word. There are Farshim that tell us there's a difference between the two. It's a very small, minor difference, but it's the same idea here as well, that when morning arrives, then the terror of death comes upon them. They fear for their lives. Pasuk Yitzayin in the Mitzudos. Ki Yachtov, who's the Yachtov? Both of them together. Both of them together is going back to Pasuk Tezvav, where it says the Ein No'eif, the man who commits adultery. And going back on Pasuk Tezvav and Tezayin, the Ganaf. Haganaf v'hanoif, Yachtov, together. Zeh kezeh, Yechoshev lomo haboker tzalmoves. They consider mourning to be death. U'me'od yim osu bo, they detest it, because they detest it. Why? Ki yakir, kasher yohir hayom, when it light, the day when morning arrives, v'yakir ish esreihu, and one person recognizes his fellow, hu lohem bilohos tzalmoves, that for them is a moment of terror. Because now they're afraid for their lives, they may be caught and they may be discovered, and they will have big trouble. So Yakir means when the morning arrives and one man can recognize their fellow, who knows, maybe someone will recognize them. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yitzayin. Rashi, Ki Yachtov Boker Lamot Samaves, Shebiyom Hayu Niskon, by day they would hide. Uvalayla hayu holchim limachter asam. They would go to their tunnels. Vlohayurei min hamazikim klal. Rashi now is going a little bit midrashic, and he's telling us that Bahala refers to the demons. So who are they afraid of? The Mitzudos is very clear. Yakir means they recognize their fellow. Ish esreihu. Now is a time when they are. There's a danger. Good morning. They'll be caught. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that by danger, it's an entirely different interpretation. Kiyakir balos salmo. One more time. Kiyakir. One more time. The Rashi. Shabayim hayu niskadim, v'alayla hayu holchim l'machdarasam, v'lo hayu reymen amazigim klal. Why not? Why are they not afraid of the demons at night? Next words, ki yaker b'lohos salmavis, maker hayu kol echot shedim hamafhilim, v'lo hayu yar mehem. And they were not afraid of the demons.
We're accustomed to them.
They're right. So it means they were social. These mean that they were...
They were friendly with the demons.
And it represents also they were steeped in koichoy satoma. Okay, this just came a little bit familiar to me because I was preparing for today Akdamas, and Akdamas, the story of Akdamas took place about 1,000 years ago. There's a legend. No one really knows exactly how it all came about, but there's a legend that there was some type of a komer, a priest that was heavily steeped in koichos of kishuf. Of sorcery and magic, and he was casting a spell on the Jews. And the story goes something along the line where they even give the numbers. He killed 663 Jews. How would he kill the Jew? He would touch their nose. Just by this priest touching their nose, he cast a spell, and these Jews would go, nothing would happen, but they would get tired, they would go home, lie down, and die. So this became a very great sakana. It was a koimer, and in the svarim that I've been reading to learning to prepare for the Akdamas, it elaborates about this tkufa was a time where the goyim were heavily steeped in the koichos of kishuf, of tuma, shadim. And part of the story, a lot of the details are very sketchy, and there are like 100 versions of exactly what happened, and a lot of the things that I'm reading I really don't understand. I don't understand the vocabulary, I don't understand some of the terms, but part of the story involves a Jew. There was a Jew who went off the derech, who wasn't religious, and was an assistant to this komer, to this priest. And as he began more and more involved, This Jew had as a pintaliyit. It was, even though he was a completely irreligious and heavily steeped in this magic and sorcery, he realized that he's going to lose his chelik in olam haba and in this world as well. And he decided at the last minute, enough is enough. I don't want to have any part of this. And he said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And by leaving the priest, he betrayed the priest. And the priest somehow needed him. I don't know for what. And that's really what started the extreme hatred the priest had for the Jews. Because his assistant was a Jew who abandoned his master. Okay, that's part of the story. But in this story, in the stories, and we'll read about this in different svarim, they explain that this Jew and this Komer were heavily steeped in Koichos Satumah. They were familiar with the Koichos Satumah. And to some degree, that's really what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying that these wicked people, it's not just that they're wicked, they're Rishon. They are people who are not afraid of the demons, these koichos satoma, because they themselves have sunk to such a low level that they're best friends with these sources of impurity. And that's how Rashi learns the pasuk yacht of boker lomot salmavis. We go back to the pasuk before we finish up the Rashi one more time. Together seemingly means, okay, the noyef and the ganof. Boker is death, because they prefer to hang out at night, because at night they have a lot of friends. Who are the friends they have at night? Kiyakir balhos tzalmoves. Because at night they recognize the demons, the balhos, are the shadim, the koichos of tuma, who are part of the tzel, the shadow of death. So the demons only hang out at night. And daylight, the demons go away. So these wicked people who are steeped in the koichos of tuma do not have what to do by day. They only have activities for the night. Obviously, that's very different than the Mitzudas. Mitzudas is not going in that direction. It's not discussing Shadim. It's not discussing, he's talking just the opposite, that at daytime they're terrified that they may be caught. We're not addressing that according to Rashi. We're addressing the Simcha and the the pleasure they have at night when they have what to do and they are able to hang out with these demons. Let's read Google's words again, the Rashi. Kiyakir balahos salmavis, makir hoye kol echad, each one of these wicked people, shadim, demons, hamathilim, which would terrify the average person, but not these, velo hoye yar mehem, they were not afraid. Okay, Rabbi Seydu Perishu, yoyma mechos, another interpretation. Rabbi Seydu Perishu, this is the Medrash, I had the Medrash from here today, he brings on this, the Medrash. What is these two psukim pasuk tezayin and tezyud zayin? They go together. Yom chotru lamo bayom hayoisim simonim hechon mar teu shel bais. By day they would make simonim where to find the secret vaults of the wealthy people. What hechon gnozov shel asher? Where are the treasures of the rich men? What does that mean? What do we mean? Shahayu mafkidim afar simon etzel balei batim. If a person would go approach his neighbor, or would approach people, and go walk through the streets, and would give out gifts. What's the gift you give out? You give out a diamond, and attached to the diamond, you have a secret GPS tracker. That's really what it is, what it means in modern terms. What's the modern GPS tracker? It was some type of a pharismon spice, some type of fragrance. What?
Take something, the wrapper was a fragrant wrapper,
yeah, a pharismon. And you would give this valuable object that had the scent of this exotic fragrance to your friend. So what does the neighbor, oh, thank you for such a beautiful gift. Where am I going to go put this diamond or this very valuable object? I'm not going to leave it on my dining room table because someone will steal it. I'm going to put it away in my vault. I'm going to put it away with all of my treasures. Where's my vault? No one knows my vault. It's in ancient times. It was out somewhere in a field. It was uncovered in some secret location no one would know about. And that's where the wealthy people would deposit this valuable object. But there's a GPS tracker attached. Or in this case, there is some fragrance that is coming forth from this object. Now, the Midrash does not say this, but the Midrash says this. Then at night, they would go with dogs that had the sense of smell, and they would search for this unique fragrance, and they would figure out where these vaults are. They would dig them up, and not only would they take back the treasure that they temporarily gave to this wealthy person, what else would they find in the vault? Cash. They would find there all other types of valuable things. So this is what these two psukim mean. These psukim mean here, Chosar b'choshech pasuk tezayin yudzayin. Let's read inside the words. By day they would make signs. Where is the storage house, the cellar of the bayis? Vehechon gnozov shel asher, where are the treasures of the wealthy man? Shayu mafkidim afar simon, they would deposit balsam, something that had a fragrance, eitzel bali habatim ashirim, v'yoydim heim sheyanichu bebeis gnozov, they would be well aware that the wealthy people would deposit this object in their treasure house. Uvalayla, in the evening, marichim v'holchim sham v'choshim sham, the night time they would smell out where it is, and they would dig up the tunnels. So this is what another technique, and again we're describing here, even describing this parak, extreme acts of wickedness or sophisticated acts of wickedness.
Describing
Dor HaMabel. Right, well, that's really Rashi doesn't, well, the whole parak of Dor HaMabel. So this is also the Dor HaMabel. All of the acts over here in this parak are sophisticated acts of thievery. It's not your petty ganef. There's much more depth into the techniques. Okay, so this is what it says over here. This is what it says. These two. So now we go to pasuk yud ches. Kal hu al pnei mayim. Now there's many interpretations. The long Rashi, let's do one thing at a time. The Mesulis is a very different interpretation. They're swift al pnei mayim. Tikulal chelkosam. The Mesulis learns that their chelkosam is a word which means field. It means their derech. Their derech is tikulkal. It's not paved. It's coarse. It's ruined. Lashon like mikulkal. It's not been prepared. It's not been set. We'll see what that means in a moment. Lo yifne derech kravim. They do not walk on the paths of the vineyards, which simply means that the path of the vineyard is paved. There is a derech, there is a mahalach. These wicked people, by daytime, according to the mitzvot, this means, by day, when they flee and they go into hiding, they don't walk on Avenue J. They walk down some secret alleyway, because if they'll walk down the Derech Karamim, if they'll walk down a Chelka, that is Misukon, which is, stands in contrast to the word Tikulal, then they would be spotted by all of the cameras on the street, and then they would be taken away by the authorities. So they have no choice but to walk through some back alley in order not to be caught, not to travel the way of the vineyards, and not to travel on a chilek, a portion of land that is misukon. Let's see what mitzudas pasuk yudches. Kalhu kasher yivrach. So that's the first thing we have to take note according to themselves, that when they're fleeing in the morning, the daylight has come, they're now coming back from the tunnel, they're coming back from being with a woman that they should not be with. When they flee, behoir hayom, when the daylight comes, hu kal ma'od, they are very quick. They are very swift. They're very swift. Lishchos v'lashut, to swim. Lishchos. Lishchos means also what? To swim. To swim v'lashut al pnei hamayim. So here we're learning over here that exactly it says kal, it's swift. It must be that they're fleeing on waters, on water. Ki yorei l'leches parts, they're afraid to travel on land. Pen yifku bo haroitvim, because they may be overtaken by their pursuers. U'lezeh defo yashut al pnei hamayim, for they swim on water. Makom, a place, she'ein anashim halchem shom, place people do not frequent. Tikulal. Now, what is the meaning of these next two words? Tikulal chelkasam. So this is a second technique. Hachelka asher yelchu oleh habaretz. So right away we have to see that the material over here is now shifting. That for the first three words, kal hu al pnei mayim, that's one option. That's one means of escape. When they escape by sea, by water. Not to choose, not don't take a path of land, because it's much harder to be caught on water than it is to be caught by land. In water they can go much quicker. The next part of the pasuk, tikulal chelkasam, when they have no choice but to flee on land, achelka shayelcho lecha baretz hi mikuleles meod, it is ruined. It is a very difficult, it's what?
Badlands.
Badlands. They don't walk on a piece of land that has been worked, that has been processed. The Yizra, that has been seeded, plowed and seeded, because that would be easy. That would be straight level. When you plant, you have to first level the land. If the land has been leveled, so it's easy to some degree to travel, to walk upon it. A place of desolation. No one is tasham. Period. Now we go to the third category. They don't walk through the way of vineyards. They're afraid of people that are frequent among the vineyards. They'll be caught. What does the pasuk mean here by describing two different examples of where they're fleeing? This is something which the mitzvot adds into the pasuk, which is not in the pasuk. He adds in the whole drasha. This is a whole sermon he's adding in. Part of what Eiv here is saying is these people have no yiras shemayim. Not having yiras shemayim, it wouldn't be so bad if they wouldn't be afraid of Hashem, and they also would not be afraid of man, because then everything is the same. But the problem here is they're afraid of man, and they're not afraid of Hashem. That's what we have with the difference in the dal of the hay. The embarrassment, but a ganaf. What's the difference between a ganaf and a gazlan? A gazlan does not pay kefel. A person that steals in the open, steals in the street, when he's caught, only has to pay what he has stolen. But a ganaf, someone who steals secretly, has to pay kefel double. And if he steals a shor Asharo Seh, and he has to pay, and he slaughters it, he has to pay Dalad Vehe four or five times. Why is there such a stiff penalty of double or four or five times? Because one of the reasons that the Medrash says is because a Ganav has shown that he is afraid of man, but not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is a greater Chil Hashem than the Gazlan, who equalizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. I'm not afraid of Hashem, and I'm not afraid of man. Okay, at least you've not elevated a human being above HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you elevate a human being above HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a greater Chil Hashem, and therefore he is deserving of a greater penalty. That's exactly what the Pasuk here is saying, according to the opinion of the Mitzvah Stavet. It does not say this anywhere inside, but it's part of the theme of Eiv, that again, because we're trying over here to do in this parak, you have to go back to the parak, each pasuk to pasuk, and you have to show we're not dealing here with petty thieves. We're not dealing here with something that's very simple. That we know. Eiv over here is trying to describe that there's a class, there's a category of ganavim who are extremely sophisticated. Their techniques are advanced. There's a tremendous chokhmah in how they exploit and take advantage of the poor. And every single pasuk, we bring out a new nekuda, a new dimension of the sophistication. And here, in this pasuk, the Mitzvah is saying, look how sophisticated they are in their escape. When they escape by water, when it comes to land, they walk on the plot of land that's mekulkul. When they have to travel on a road, they don't travel on a road that's near a vineyard because they might be caught there. They have a sophisticated escape plan. Why? Because they are indeed afraid of man, but they're not afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is a greater evil. And yet, despite this extreme degree of wickedness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets them live long, wonderful, successful lives with nachas and kavod and osher. And how could this be? This goes against everything that we know in the Torah of Schar V'Onesh. It must be. Eve's conclusion is that there is no such thing as Hashgacha Pratis. What? In this world, okay, that's all part of the answer. But Eve here is extremely frustrated. That's all part of his expression that what the Sefer is all about. So let's see over here. Now, this is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. So there are three parts. There's water, there is land, and there are roads. Three parts of the pasuk. To kulal means it's in a very bad state. And kal means they're very swift. Okay, now, and the kramim, there's no depth in the Mitzudos and his interpretation of kram. It's extremely simple. When they choose to travel on the road, there are different roads. You can take the I-95, and you can take a road, the back roads, the service roads. So the road here, the Derech Kramim, L'Choira, the service roads. Because the service roads are right near where people live. I don't know, maybe whatever you want, however you want to interpret. It's just a very simple interpretation. The Derech Kram is a place where you're going to meet people. So stay away from those roads. Now, let's see Rashi. Rashi has a very elaborate interpretation of this pasuk. He presents many midrashim, many different ideas. Kal huel pnei moyim. Here, right away Rashi jumps into a medrash, nothing to do with pshat. Kishahoyu hatzadikim noach umesushelach moichicham. When tzaddikim like Noach and Meshach would rebuke the people of the Dor HaMabel, we're discussing the wicked people, ki hishchas kol boster darkoi al aretz, mochichem oisam, v'oimim lohem, sh'os na'mabel lovo alehem, the Mabel will come upon them. And before we go further, this is something which is very fascinating in Rashi, which I challenge you to find sources for this in the Medrash. Who is giving them Musar? Misu Shelach. Did you ever learn as a child that Misu Shelach was the one giving them Musar? Never. Go ask any first grader who learned Parashas Noach, who is giving Musar to the generation? Noach! Noach! What about Shem, Ham, and Yefes? We don't even hear about them either. And in fact, were they righteous? Doesn't say they were righteous. It sounds more to the average person, including myself, you would think that only in the Zechus of Noach they were spared. Only
sure wasn't right.
What?
Ham for sure was not.
Well, that's later on. We don't know what happened. At the least at the time, we don't really hear anything about them. After the Mabul was over, and they were there for 1 year, who knows, that's such an experience, such a trauma to go through the Mabul and the Teva. After feeding the animals for 1 year, they come out, and then we don't even know if they fed the animals. What did they do in the Teva? Maybe they weren't interested. Maybe it was Noach. He fed the animals. Noach for sure was. But we don't know. It says, I didn't study the Midrash, but from growing up in the average, you know, being around the block, you don't hear very much about Shem, Ham, and Yafes until after it's all over. Now the Mabul is over, they come out. Good morning, Mr. Gladden. They come out now into the world. They come out into the world, and they see Noach is not covered, he's not dressed. Okay, so we first learn about their midos.
Well, Shem must have been had something good in him because Avraham Avinu was descended.
But that was later on. All of that could have been triggered in after living through the Mabul. Before the Mabul, we don't hear about Shem. We don't hear about shame. So I'm taking a step back. We learned last week, Rashi says that shame, Chom, and Yefes were tzaddikim. That's what Rashi says at the Farish. They were tzaddikim. What? So Rashi, we learned a few psukim before that the tzaddikim who had great pleasure in seeing the churban of the Rishon. Who were the Rishon? The Dor HaMabul. Who were the tzaddikim? Rashi said it was Noach and his three sons. They were the tzaddikim and Mrs. Shelach. They had pleasure. So Rashi is calling Shem, Ham, and Yefes tzaddikim. Even Chom is calling a tzaddik before the Mabul. Chum turned sour after the Mabul, but before the Mabul, is that really truly with tzaddikim? Well, that's what Rashi said. It wasn't then the zchus; they were spared, not in the zchus of their father, in their own zchus. Here, Rashi throws in another new chiddush. Who's giving Musar? Misu Shalach. Really, he's giving Musar? Yeah, that's what it says. Kishoya tzaddikim noyachu the tzaddikim noyachu misu shelach mechicham oisam b'mayim muchayim shosil hamabul lavo aleihem. So here we go to a new interpretation. Hoyarim kalim. Kal means we will escape. Not according to Rashi, according to the Medrash, pasuk Yitchas has nothing to do with pasuk Tezayin and pasuk Yitzayin. It's not now the escape plan for the people that the whole night spent tunneling into the bank to steal what's in the vault. It's just a general description. We're not afraid of the Mabul. We have technology. We're not afraid of global warming. We have technology. Kalim anu lashit al hamayim. We can swiftly escape. Swim away on the water. The yesh lanu guma. Guma is a type of substance. A canoe. We have a type of a reed, which is light. You can float. In other words, we have technology. We're all ready for it. Udvarim kalim lasoyz mehem onios v'lashut to make ships and lashut and to swim. Another interesting point is they didn't deny that. According to Rashi, they didn't deny the Mabul is going to come. Isn't that the interpretation you more common? It's there's not going to be a Mabul. Hear this saying. Give me your right. There's global warming. We have an indication there's global warming, the world, climate change, and there's going to be a Mabul, but we're not afraid. We are prepared for this. Next, so Tkal means we have technology that will allow us to swiftly float away on our escape vessels. Now, what does this mean according to the Medrash? Their chelek is Tkulal. Lo yifne derech kramim. Hayu mikalalim es chelkam varetz. Whole new interpretation. To curse. To kulal does not mean it's a piece of land. A chelik is a piece of land that is not being paved. It's a dirt road. It means they curse their portion in life. They hated their life. What does that mean? The kalalim eschelkam ba'aretz leimar lo yifne derech hatoiv. We're not going to turn on in the proper path. The darkei hatzadikim ha ramim v'sheichnim, the tzadikim which are exalted and who live berumo shel olam. Who are the tzaddikim? Now, I don't know how the Lamed Aleph, the Lishna Achrin, that's really part of the same, could be the Lamed Aleph crept in by mistake. It really was meant to be put in later on. Kiramim heim hatzaddikim. The vineyard means they're tzaddikim. They cursed They curse the tzaddikim. We do not want to follow the derech of the tzaddikim. He explains, Ufarnose Hadar, the people in whose merit Hashem sustained the generation. Where do we find a precedent that a kerem refers to a tzaddik and to a parnes? We find in Hoshea, V'nasati lo eskramim misham, I will grant you leaders from there. The pasuk says vineyards. Targum Yoinason, the Targum Yoinason on that pasuk in Hoshea Perek Bey says Yos Parnes So'o, the leaders, the guides. So we have a precedent in Sefer Hoshea that a kerem is a metaphor for a tzaddik, something which produces fruit. Bore pri hagofen, right? So we make a bore pri hagofen on all by a mitzvah. It says all of the symbolism that's associated between wine and grapes, right, and the tzaddikim and a mitzvah.
The Klal
Yisrael. So we have over here, this is the Dor HaMabel. Let's go back to the pasuk there before we go. So let's read the Gavkini Rashi. Hayu, he explains, Hayu Mekalalim Eschelkam Ba'aretz. What's the summary of this interpretation? They cursed their portion on the earth. What does that mean? Leimar, Lo Yifnu Derech HaToiv. We're not going to turn on the right path. Nishpohim, they swore, Shlo Yifanu Estarkam. They would not change, they would not turn. I'm not sure exactly how to translate this. Yifanu Estakam means, meaning obviously, is they're not going to follow in the path of the tzaddikim. So we go back to the pasuk. We have to really read these words together. Tekulal chilkasam baretz, they cursed their portion in this earth. What was the portion that they cursed? They cursed that they have among them tzaddikim. Hashem gave them tzaddikim to serve as role models. They cursed them. They said, "Lo yifne derech kiramim." We're not going to turn on the road of these tzaddikim. We don't want to have anything to do with them. We want to choose for ourselves a different path. This is the derech of the extremely wicked people upon whom Yev complains. They had wonderful lives. Wonderful lives. They didn't get sick. They died peacefully. They had beautiful funerals. Everything was going their way to the very, very end. Now Rashi has another interpretation. Lishna Achrina. Another interpretation. Tekulal chelkasam miskalkeles hoisa chelkasam. Their chelik means their lot, meaning let's read what he says. Shahayu mashchisim zaram levatola. They would be moitzi zera levatola. That's what they did. They did not want gesundheit. They did not want to. Whatever this means, I'm not exactly sure the depth of what this means, but we the Rashi and Chumash says this is according to the rule of Kabbalah, the worst possible avera a person can do. We once mentioned that, you know, there are two different worlds. There's the world of Kabbalah and the world of derech pshat, nigla. There's Taras HaNigla and Taras HaNista. And the Taras HaNigla, in the law of the Torah that's revealed, what is the worst aver a person can do? The worst aver is Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim. Right? If you kill a person, you take another person's life. It can't get worse than that. Gili Arayah. These are the big three. What about being Moitzi Zera Levatala? It's not even on the chart. It doesn't even exist. I mean, obviously.
You kill all the potential of the shaman.
But it's not. It's in the Torah Sanigla. It's not. It's not reckoned with. It's not. It's what has the person done? In the Torah Sanistar, it's not so bad to kill someone. It sounds ridiculous. So the person will come down again as a Gilgal. When you're talking the Taras HaNister, Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. Alright, so it's like you talk during davening. It's not such a bad, so you talk during davening, you read one of the pamphlets, Zerich HaZarah Sashatz. No, you did an Avera. What is the cardinal sin in the Taras HaNister? Moitzi Zera Levatal. Moitzi Zera Levatal in Taras HaNister. The world literally has come to an end. Now, Avi and Halacha, as a Shemitah HaMitzvos, we take both of them into consideration. We put the emphasis, of course, upon Teres HaNigla, Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim. I mean, that's 100%, but we definitely take into consideration what the Mekubalim, what what the Mekubalim tell us. So it's something that's obviously very, very serious. It's the worst possible thing. And in Chumash and Rashi, Rashi Taka says this. Rashi obviously held that this is something that is so significant to mention that Rashi adds this into his parish on Chumash. Kihishchis kol basar darkei al aretz. Rashi there mentions that they were mostly zera levatala, and that's why they were punished b'reischin. They were punished with boiling hot water because zera levatala is also described as something which is heated. And here, this is how Rashi wants to interpret this pasuk as well. This pasuk says, "Kalu v'ring dar hamabel." What was their great sin? The great sin was tikulal chilkos sambaris. The word tikulal does not mean unpaved, like the mitzudos. Does not mean that they curse. It means mekulkal, corruption. Their way of life was corrupt. It was no big deal for them to be motzi zera levatala. Chelkasa means their portion. Seemingly, the portion means their portion of zera. This that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the human being the ability to produce zera, they decided, who cares about it? We have no. There's no harm in being mekalkel and just in destroying it for no reason. To kulka loshman kilkul kumoy ba'avon asher yoda ki mekalkel. How do we know that the word to kulkal means corruption, to destroy. We learn from Eli. Eli had two sons, Chofni and Pinchas. And Chofni and Pinchas were not bringing honor to their father. They were doing Averos. So it says, describes that their way, they were mekulkal. Ki mekalalim lohem bonav. Now the word there is mekalalim, that's not the correct word. It means they would curse. But it's interpreted there to mean that they brought upon themselves shame. They brought upon themselves kilkal. Okay, that is one. That's the second interpretation.
They were cursed.
They were cursed for their sins because of the things that they did. But their ways, but in the pasuk, the way it's interpreted in the pasuk in Shmuel means they were corrupt. They were corrupt. They took for themselves the korbanos, and they delayed the offering of the sacrifices. The women who came, it says that they lived with women who came to bring korbanos. It doesn't mean literally, but their conduct was corrupt. Now we go to another interpretation. Lishnachrina to kulkal chelkasam hadoros she'achareihem mekalalim bohem. Unbelievable shot. That all future generations will use them as an example of a curse. When one would want to curse someone else, they would say, you should be cursed just like the Dor HaMabel. And this refers specifically to a person that does not keep his word. Mi Shepora Midor HaMabel Midor Stom. Hashem, who punished the generation of the Mabel, generation of Stom, he should curse a person that is not true to his word. A person does not keep his words. The curse in Chazal called Mi Shepora, the one who paid retribution to these. So they, this generation now to Kulal, they will be a source of Klala, Chelkasam, their existence. New interpretation. Chelkasam means their existence will now be a source of curse for all future generations, or it's in this world. Shadoros shachareihem mikalim bohem. What will they say? Mishapora midor hamabul midor hastom, and so on and so forth. Who also lipora will is destined to exact retribution from those that do not keep their word. Another interpretation. Lishnachrina tekulal chelkasam lo yifane derech kiram. What does that mean? Lo hayu mikablim toychacha min hatoivim. They did not receive rebuke. So to kugal chelkasam, it's in this borders upon the first interpretation. Okay, it's very, very similar. It's a little bit nuanced. To kugal chelkasam ba'aretz, their way in their seemingly means that their derech of life was corrupt. I think he's saying this interpretation now after he has defined that the word tikulkal means corrupt. Their chelek, their way in this world was corrupt because lo yifne derech kramim, they refused to accept the rebuke of the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim were called kram, who attempted to put them in their place, did not make an impact upon them. Another example, loshnacher hayu kalim loshut besinos. Another interpretation is they were very quick to travel by boat laharog V'lachmos mammon, to murder and to steal mammon. V'derech yishu b'nei adam unetias kiramim. This means they refuse to get a degree and make an honest living. Lo yifne derech kramim, in this interpretation, is a metaphor for an honest living. In ancient times, how do you make an honest living? You go, you purchase a parcel of land, and you toil, you have a vineyard, and you produce vines, you produce grapes, you produce wine, and you have it's just a metaphor. Lo yifne derech kramim, they chose not to earn an honest, to make an honest living, to earn a livelihood in the normal way of derech kol aretz, and instead they chose tikulal chelkasam aretz, they chose a corrupt path in this world. What was the corrupt path? Go back to the beginning of the pasuk, kal hu al pnei mayim. They would quickly travel to different locations to murder and steal. So kal hu al pnei mayim, they were quick to murder and steal, and travel along different routes that would take them to their destination, and thus the kulal chelkasa maritz, their way of life was corrupt. They didn't want to go to college and get a degree and make an honest living. That's how we learn in this last interpretation. Okay, so we have a whole long list, one pasuk, and then we had something like this until now, where Rashi was so elaborate, provided us with a long list of possible interpretations for this pasuk. Next pasuk Yutes. Tzia gam chom yigzalu meme shaleg sheol chotohu. The wicked people, due to their conduct, caused the six seasons to be suspended. We're describing here, according to the Mitzvot, the year of the Mabul. The year of the Mabul, the Mabul took place during 1 year. It was exactly 1 year, and although the Torah says that there are seasons, right? There are different seasons. We'll see in the Rashi, and those seasons of the year were suspended due to the wickedness of the generation by forcing Hashem to destroy the world and to suspend the Derech Haaretz. Let's take a look over in this passage. Yitzhak explains in detail. Tzia means thirst. Gam chom, heat. Vihine, what does this pasuk mean? Bivo es pikudasam, when their day of reckoning arrived, Yamusu, they died. Bimidakala, bimisakala. Okay, so we're going to different interpretation. They died swiftly. And this is going to be the theme of the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos is going to go off take an approach for the next series of sukkim, which Rashi steers clear from. But here he says that this is part of the complaint of Eov, that the wicked die a pleasant death. A swift, easy death. When produce is dry, in combination im tseruf hachoim, combination with intense heat, goizlim umaabdim, steals and destroys, bekalus umaher esamayim, dries up very quickly the water, hanoizlim, that flows mehashalek. Now here are the keywords, kein hashaol, maabed maher, the grave quickly swallows up, eswanoshim asher chotu, who have sinned, v'loisavlu michoif acholi, and they do not need to suffer pain that is associated, that is natural with the onset of death. So the mashal over here is giving a sha'ol chotohu. We have to read the pasuk backwards. Chotohu, let's see, the word chotohu means, it's one word which refers to people who are extremely wicked. The sha'ol, the grave, takes these extremely wicked people and swallows them up. Takes them from a state of life, of health and robustness, to the grave in an instant. And normally that process is a very painful process. It's not so easy. I once heard a person always saying, It's not so easy to leave this world. It's not so easy. In this generation especially, modern medicine, they can keep you around here for a very long time, and it's not pleasant. Right? It's not pleasant. We hear of stories of people that die instantly, of course, but today there's technology and there are ways to keep a person around here for a very long time in a very unpleasant state. And that's natural. And that's natural. And Eve here seems to be saying that it's not such a bad thing. If you read between the lines, okay, it's a shocking thing, but that's what he seems to be saying, that it's not such a bad thing for a person to have a delayed departure from this world. It puts him in a frame of mind. It prepares him for the next world. The wicked don't have to go through this process. The wicked, they die in a moment. They die... And that in one hand is a bracha. Okay, so we don't know what these things are all about. But here, and on a very simple level, Eve is complaining. Is complaining that on a very simple level, tzaddikim, they have a lot of agony, and they have a delayed departure, and the delayed departure comes with enormous suffering. How could it then be that the wicked are spared from this experience? Those that are chotohu, those that have sinned, the sheol, the grave, swallows them up in an instant, and they don't have to suffer. And the metaphor is, on a hot day, a hot summer day, when it's 110 degrees outdoors, and 100 miles away there's a mountain, and the mountain in the winter was filled with ice and snow, and now the mountain is melting, and the ice and snow has melted, and the runoff, it's coming down into the valley where it's 110 degrees, and all of that liquid, all of that runoff evaporates in an instant. What a shame. It took a whole winter to accumulate all of that ice and snow, and we were relying upon that ice and snow to fill up the reservoirs, but due to the intense heat, it never makes it into the reservoirs. The intense heat just steals and evaporates the runoff from the mountain. That's exactly what we're comparing with the Russia. Russia is the ice and snow. Death is the reservoir. Normally, there's a process. It has to melt, it trickles down, it has to travel a long path, and it comes to rest eventually in the reservoir, and then people, they drink from the reservoir, and eventually the water is depleted. A natural process. But when it's a hot, burning day, or a tkufa, a period of time, then it's robbed. All the ice and the snow just disappears instantaneously, and that is what he compares here, the death and departure of the Rasha. The tzia, when there is thirst, gamchom, it's a combination of two things together, just an expression, thirst and heat, meaning it's intensely hot. What happens when you have such a situation? Yigzilu meimei shelek, it steals the runoff of the snow. Who is this compared to? What is this a metaphor? Kama sheol chotol. That's exactly what happens to the wicked people when they enter the grave. They don't have to go through the process of dying. It takes place in an instant. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi a little bit.
You could say that he's such a ganav. He steals the snow away. He steals death from the wicked.
Okay, he steals death. Sheol chotohu. He stole death. That's good. That's really what the Mitzvahs are saying. They don't have to go through this process. Look at those last words are the key words. The last four words of the Mitzvahs before Pasachav. V'lo savlu michoiv hachoili. They don't have to bear the pain of illness that comes before death. Rashi, tzia gamchom yig. Yigzalu mipneiro asam, due to their, now Rashi here is again it's focusing on the midrashim. We're referring not to an individual. We're referring to the generation of the Dor Hamabel. They were evil, and their evil caused the Kadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the world. The earth was denied what was natural. Mipnei ro'asam garmu lohem shon achas, one whole year, lehishtanois oilam, for the world to say the olam to be changed, mishisho sidorov, from its six cycles. What are the six cycles? The zera, the time of year when you seed, ktsir, when you harvest, kor, the winter time, the choim, the summertime, kai, well, the choim is not the spring, I guess. He means here the spring. Kayetz is the winter. Choref, because the summer, I'm sorry, the intense season, the choref is the winter. So these six seasons were denied during that one year. Now, meme shelek, what does that mean? So here Rashi says it means kimo u meme shelek, something else that was denied. What else was denied? You have to get involved into the pasuk. They also denied the water, the runoff from the snow from the world. Lefi shesha'ol, why? Yeah, now Rashi is adding in some words, because lefi shesha'ol chatahu, they sinned to the extreme. They sinned to the extreme where they were deserving of death. That Rashi points out that the word meimei shelek is not to be connected. It's not like the Metzudas learns that they steal from the meimei shelek. It means and. The vav here means and the meimei shelek. Where do we find the precedent that you can have an invisible vav? Lefi yesh tevos chaseros vavim. There are words that are missing vavim. Kimo vani kikeves aluf. I am like a sheep, and aluf is another word for an axe. And so what's the aluf means? The aluf. For who niftar, it's interpreted in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, kekeves ve'aluf, with the vav. Od harbe, there are other examples, b'machberes Menachem ben Tzaruk, this is Rashi always refers to him. He had a dictionary, he had a different svarim, and the Gemarian, there are different examples of where the vav is missing. The vav is missing, and it means, and so here as well, according to Rashi's interpretation, we have to go back to the pasuk, tzia, gamchom, yigzalu, that these wicked people denied from the cycle of the year, tzia. So I guess tzia refers to the summertime, the kor, the kayitz. The kayitz, and I'm not exactly sure which part of the time the tzia refers to. Rashi doesn't really say.
The says it means the part of Yovesh.
The drier part of the year, but right, the Mitzudas is giving an entirely different interpretation. The Mitzudas is learning the pasuk Yates is referring to a marshal for the death of the Rishon. It's easy; they don't have to suffer. They disappear; they evaporate, just like water evaporates on a hot day that comes off the mountain. Rashi here is saying something entirely different: that these wicked people force the Sparach to destroy the world, and thus the Tzia, the time of the year when it's dry, when there's thirst, which seemingly refers to the summertime, right? That's the summertime. Gam chom. The chom, I guess, is maybe the tzia refers to. I don't know what time of the year the tzia versus the chom. Tzia gam chom yigzlu. Two different times of the year, which is just as a mashal for the six times of the year, were denied. And what else was denied? Also, umeme shelek. Also, the time of the year when the water flows from the snow, that time of the year as well. Doesn't seem that we're giving here in this pasuk all six times. We're just giving a few of the times of the year which were destroyed, were stolen from the world because of the deeds of the wicked. By who? By the Sha'ol Chatu, by the people who have sinned to the degree where they were deserving to go into the grave. So in this pasuk, you learn something which Mepharshim tell us is that the weather, there is really a Gemara that talks about this, the weather is influenced by people's deeds. There's a Gemara Masech Tainis that says that in Bavel, often there were clouds would form, and it wouldn't rain. And it didn't make sense. Because al derech ha-teva, when the clouds come to such a formation, it rains. Why does it happen? So the Gemara says it's because the weather is influenced by the nidos of people. And in Babel, they were known to be fakers. They would make believe they're tzaddikim. They would get dressed in nice rabbanish clothing, put on a nice black hat, and everything looked fine and pure from the outside, but under the hood there was corruption. So if that's how people are, that's what it's like out in the environment. The clouds come together. Ah, look at the clouds. It's dark. It should rain. But under the hood, there's no rain. Nothing's coming forward. The environment is influenced by people. And to some degree, that's what it's saying here in this pasuk as well. It's saying over here that due to the sins of man, the environment was destroyed. The six different parts of the year, which Derech Olam was taken, was stolen from the world. You know, the world is often described in Chazal as a creature. The world, the earth is alive. It has an neshama. And when we sin, just like you're not allowed to steal, one person may not steal from another person. By sinning and doing things that are not proper, you're stealing from the world. You're denying the world what it's entitled to. The world is entitled to also have a healthy existence. Pollution is okay, one example, but even in mitzvos and averos also has an effect. This is how Rashi learns the pasuk. Okay, we'll stop over here.